Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there. We are back today with another new episode of the podcast, and we're going to spend our time today doing a detailed walkthrough on one of our websites that will show you exactly how and where to insert calls to action for your prospects and customers to add mobile wallet campaign passes to their phones. And we're also going to talk about integrating with your social media, your email campaigns, your SMS campaigns as well.
That's right. Welcome back. Hopefully you're having a great day and we'll get some productive takeaways from this episode. We usually find that our newer clients sometimes need help thinking out of the box when it comes to deploying a new campaign. And we'll be discussing ways to integrate both online and offline strategies that will help you grow your mobile ad campaign targets and prospect base.
So if you're new to the podcast, or perhaps you don't understand the real value that a mobile wallet ad campaign brings to the table, especially in contrast to building and supporting a standalone app, I think the first thing that we'll do today is walk you through the specifics of how a mobile wallet pass works and what sort of things you can accomplish with it. Hazel, do you want to go ahead and run through that for the listeners?
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the back links, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
Sweet! That should give our listeners a better idea of just how flexible and easy a mobile wallet campaign is and what sort of clever calls to action it enables.
It really is a product that presents the opportunity to engage and interact with current customers as well as prospective new ones across a wide variety of digital platforms and enables you to tie together a campaign that encompasses multiple products such as social media, email, SMS, and so on.
Right. So if you're like the average business owner or marketing professional, you most likely rely on your website, your social media, perhaps some search engine results, and general word of mouth, maybe like referrals, for a large part of your marketing and advertising. Now, if you happen to own a retail or a service type of business, I'm sure you also do physical advertising. You maybe incorporate Yelp reviews or other things that are specific to your business type as well.
Yeah, that is what we usually see. A pretty good mix already existing for most of our clients, but maybe not quite tied together into a coherent package, which means that they aren't squeezing every little bit out of their ad budget, and that means that ROI isn't quite as good as it should be on their campaigns.
Right, and you know, mobile wallet ad campaigns really are a drop in the bucket cost-wise compared to a lot of other types of advertising. They also happen to be GDPR compliant. If you are doing business in the EU or if you've decided that you want to be compliant across the board, just in case.
Indeed. There are a lot of businesses who choose to be GDPR compliant even though they aren't doing any sales in parts of the world where it's necessary. I'm not sure if it's a fear thing or if they really understand the nuances of the law and whether or not it applies to them.
Right. So I think GDPR is probably a topic for another day. I mean, because what I'm seeing right now is that the uproar over it has really kind of dropped off. And there aren't even that many people talking about it anymore. It's kind of turned into a sort of nothing burger, if you will.
You just love that term, nothing burger, don't you?
I do. I surely do. And you know what else? I also love our archives. So let's just take a minute and name drop a couple of episodes, older episodes from the archive that offer more of a meal than a nothing burger, so to speak. And for me, the first one I want to mention today is a newer episode. It's number 65, Sending Targeted Messages to Segmented Campaigns. So this episode covers the ways to target and organize potential users or buyers at the time that you're actually creating and setting up a campaign. And then it details how to go about sending the messages that are either time or location relevant in order to get a better engagement rate.
Yeah, okay, I like that. And episode 42, Why Mobile Advertising Works, part 2. This episode has really been a hit with our listeners. It's constantly on the top of the stats every week as far as listens go. If you're new to mobile ads of any sort, or you want to understand the psychology behind using mobile, this is an episode you will for sure want to go back to the archives and listen to after we're done here.
Okay, so let's get going on the subject at hand, which is how and where to use CTAs, calls to action, on your existing collateral, website, social media, and all that stuff in order to start building a solid base that you can actually message to.
And unlike email marketing or other broad spectrum advertising, mobile wallet campaigns are permission-based from the start. Users have opted to put your collateral into their mobile wallets. And I do want to mention that because they've actually decided to do this, it pretty much stands up to any kind of privacy regulations. We can also insert an age verification screen into the process, or even a location-based type of confirmation based on zip code or anything similar. So if you happen to be marketing a product that's restricted based on age or location, something like the cannabis industry on occasion, then you're already covered here. So just by using the built-in options in the platform.
Okay, so I'm a big believer in creating more than one creative for individual campaigns, and also in tailoring the creatives to match where and what sort of activity your prospect is engaged in when they are seeing the creative. So for instance, if you have an SMS, like a text message list, and you are getting tired of the cost, which can be exorbitant, that you incur to message via SMS, then in this case, you would actually send an SMS message to your list that instructs them to download and install the mobile wallet pass via a URL link that you would insert directly into your SMS message that you're sending to your list.
Exactly. The click-through rates on SMS are very good, and the user already has their mobile device in hand, so this one should be pretty easy.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to email. If you happen to have an email blast or some kind of a newsletter that you're pushing out, you either do it on a regular schedule or you use RSS to push it when you have fresh content, you're going to want to include a link in the top and the bottom of your actual mailer, because this is a really good way to get engagement. Now, personally, I'm going to lean towards a visual with the link in the top, some kind of an icon or a small image, you know, whatever, and keeping the bottom link as a text-only link. Your description here should be really succinct, and you definitely need to tell the reader to click the link and add the pass to their mobile wallet.
We have really good success in our own mailers with that setup. We change up the images in the upper CTA on a regular basis, and we try to write engaging text that makes the reader curious, as well as telling them what to do. You really have to tell people what to do. They respond much more often in a direct action situation as opposed to a subtle suggestion.
Right. And it's the exact same thing with social media. If you're running a Facebook page, for example, you're going to want to have a permanent link to your campaign somewhere on the page. Now, you know, there are so many ways to set up Facebook pages these days that I don't want to go into the specifics about any one of the templates that they offer. I just want to make a point that the more prominently you display the call to action and the link, the more likely people are to click that link on your Facebook page.
Yeah, and Twitter, you know, Twitter has really turned into a crazy quilt of political posts, spam, and random news postings these days. But if you hit it right with your timing, it's a fairly decent way to get click-throughs. Not as good on the actual install numbers, but when you look at the stats, realizing that those eyeballs aren't worth quite as much as they say, a LinkedIn user or an FB user, that just means they should spend less time creating campaign material to use on Twitter and more time actually pushing it out. Twitter's also such a fleeting second in time, but you're able to post multiple messages over the course of the day without anyone realizing just how much marketing you are doing.
Right. And so you touched on LinkedIn for just a second there, and let's talk about that. That's definitely a place that you're going to want to have a creative and a link with a CTA worked into your LinkedIn, like your company page or your personal profile. You know, work it in there, and if you're going to push posts, which obviously you need to do that, if you want to do it with, put the link in there, you know, a couple of times a week. I wouldn't spam it every day, and you should start seeing some results rather quickly.
Remember to wait until the comments to insert the links, though. Like, LinkedIn has a very distinct algorithm for how it displays posts into feeds. They are looking for way more engagement and interactivity from users than some of the other social media networks. So you have to tailor your activity to match up with their best practices.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to things like websites, single-page websites, landing pages, all of that good stuff. Now, if you're using a CMS, content management service like WordPress, for instance, the easiest and most obvious way to repeatedly get your URL for your campaign passes onto your sites is by using a widget. I'm not going to, again, go into great technical detail on how to do this. You know, WordPress is this year in the middle of a major reorganization of their administrative editor, and it's still kind of up in the air as to what and when, you know, the transition's going to happen and how things will actually look over the course of the next few weeks or months.
Right. And this isn't a technical support podcast either.
So. No, it's not. So if you run a blog on your website, I would also consider doing the equivalent of an explainer type post, maybe even with a video, about what sort of benefits your prospects, and you know what, make it sticky. You know, well, what are they going to get as a benefit from adding your pass to their wallet?
Yeah, you really want to tell the story here if you go this route. People are more motivated by stories more than anything else, even though I will admit that they look a good discount to go along with that nifty story. So craft your verbiage in a way that lets your user know what sort of direct benefit they will receive from adding the pass, whether that's find out first about getting great deals or promotions, especially if you're doing the loyalty or rewards element in your campaign, or you can use the mobile wallet to manage your loyalty and rewards program, or whether you're doing a customer service type of pass and want to make sure they understand that you're helping to simplify communication and contact for them. I'm looking at you, auto dealers, when I say this.
Oh, yeah. The automobile dealers. I love those guys. You know, once they understand that they can push automatic scheduling for service appointments and remarket to their prior customers based on things like where the buyer lives, how often he or she gets their vehicle serviced at the dealership, and so on. I mean, these guys are really on board with the idea of using mobile wallet passes across a wide variety of purposes.
Yeah, and you should really have to have a link, at least one campaign pass, on every single page of your site. Even your 404 page, for instance, file not found, rather than having a bland error page or the default return, please don't use that, by the way. Do something creative and custom. You can leverage all your potential traffic by thinking outside the box. So your 404 page should have a CTA and link to at least one pass download.
Right on. And, you know, personally, I like to see your website search results page also have at least one campaign pass download link. You know, I think it's creative, and it's also really great when your verbiage kicks it up a notch. Something, you know, along the lines of get your search on at any time or always find exactly what you're looking for with a link to a pass download. And then what you would actually do with the pass that they're downloading is you would target that at people being able to use one click from their mobile wallet pass to get to the search area on your actual website.
Yeah, this works really nicely for sites or businesses that are set up with a lot of products and where users are going in to look for one thing but generally end up making purchases comprised of multiple items, whether it's to get free shipping or additional discount or whatever.
Right, so I'm going to drop a second mention of customer service passes in here that you touched on earlier.
Sure.
When you send out a confirmation email, this is the perfect place to go ahead and include a pass download link to a customer service pass or a rewards program. You've got a captive audience. I mean, they're looking at the receipt, they're checking the receipt to make sure they were charged correctly. And you're never going to have their full attention after the sale to any greater extent.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If you happen to be in the events business, that email confirmation when an attendee has just purchased a badge is like gold. Sending out an email 2-3 days before your show telling people to download an app is clunky, outdated, ineffective maneuver. And it's really not a great way to actually get people, attendees, sponsors, vendors, etc., to get on board with a mobile component for your event.
Not talking about any particular show, although we do see a lot of trade shows making that mistake. We have a lot of event and trade show specific episodes in our archives, along with a considerable number of blog articles about them across the range of our sites, which is mobilewalletmarketer.com, cannabiswallet.net, and dominoresearch.com. So you can go and, you know, do a quick search, look up on any of these websites and see what, you know, find what you're looking for after you get finished listening to the episode.
Right. And speaking of like finishing up here, we should probably start wrapping up this episode so that listeners can get to work on their mobile campaigns while they're fired up and full of great ideas from listening to the podcast today.
Right. Okay. So let's just sum it up in a quick main takeaways list. So number one, add the past download links everywhere you potentially interact with customers or prospects.
Be clear with the CTA. Don't go for subtle. Tell people to click and add the pass to their mobile wallet. Be firm with them, like training a dog or a child.
Number three, make sure you're updating the verbiage or the images that you're using with your CTAs regularly. Things tend to go stale after a while, and people also develop a screen blindness to parts and stuff that they see all the time.
Right. And number four, don't forget to integrate loyalty or rewards into your mobile wallet account and set up a story for users in order to entice them to add their pass to their mobile device.
Cool. Okay. And I would say that, you know, number five, last but not least, have fun with it. Mobile wallet ads and passes are still new and, you know, they're kind of like unfamiliar territory for a lot of people. I mean, not everybody puts their boarding passes into their mobile wallet or uses Apple Pay or Google Pay, whatever, at the moment. So there is still the element of curiosity, surprise, or, you know, possibly even fear for new users. Make sure people know that you are respecting their privacy and that they can opt out at any time.
Right. Passes are even easier to delete than they are to add, but we're still seeing retention rates in the 90% range, especially for passes that don't expire when they are used. This creates a solid pool of prospects that you can market to year-round, and you can include time or location-based elements for all those all-important lock screen notifications.
Okay, so with that, let's wrap for today. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Exactly. See you next time.